the Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. I'm your host, Jess Root, from CardsWire.com, the NFL wire site covering the Arizona Cardinals from USA Today. With me is co-host Seth Cox from TheVengeBirds.com, SB Nation's Arizona Cardinals site, and also one of the hosts of the original Draft Breakdown podcast. It's our second show of the week as we are now in week one. This is kind of the format I think we're going to try and do most of the season. We will do our game review Tuesday night, publishing Wednesday, look ahead to the upcoming game, recording Thursday, posting Friday, and I will have a third show posting Saturday as well. So we should have more content more often. Seth, I can't wait. Although I'm not nearly as excited. I'm not as optimistic as I felt I was going to be coming into the season, but at least now we have actual football games. And oh my gosh, the Chiefs, the Lions with the upset, and made me a smart person. It made me look smart on my underdog picks of the week for Sportsbook Wire. Every week on Thursday, I publish my three underdog picks of the week. I wasn't bold enough to pick the Lions on the money line, but I did have them cover the spread, and boy, did they do that, winning 21-20. The NFL's officially here, Seth. We have a game in the books.
Yeah, and it was a terrible game. Not fun to watch in the least. There were some big plays, but for the most part, you're kind of seeing the evolution of the game in the sense that, you know, if you don't have wide receivers, even if you have the best quarterback alive, it makes things a little more difficult, right?
And it does. Kelce, honestly, he's such a difference maker.
He is. And so that's the thing is, like, you know, they can get by because Travis Kelce is basically, you know, Larry Fitzgerald, but they can't get by if they're missing him, and then, you know, that's what they have at wide receiver. And so it just made
And they don't have their best defensive player clogging the middle either. That's
right. Well, yeah. I mean, that's – and it's an interesting dynamic because, you know, it is telling of how the NFL itself works and how fragile, even with great players, everything is, right? Like, it takes just one thing, like you're saying, and obviously the Kelce injury is huge, but it takes one thing to disrupt the entirety of it. And that one thing's the Chris Jones contract situation. And so you look at it, you know, the 49ers just doled out the largest defensive contract in NFL history to Nick Bosa. Because quite frankly, they were like, oh, we can't let this go. like we can't, and the funny thing is, I think it would have got done tomorrow after tonight's game. Right. Cause they would have been like, holy crap. Like, that guy is that important to the Chiefs, then Bosa is that important for us. So,
oh yeah, absolutely.
And so it just shows the fragility of the NFL. And, like, you know, you can have all these different stars, and obviously the Cardinals right now are in a different, but if you don't have the key piece or you're reliant on a piece like a Chris Jones, man, it makes a huge difference.
Yeah. What we're going to talk about in this show, this is all about Cardinals Commanders. Let's start with the injury situation because we're recording on Thursday night, so we don't have final injury reports, but what we do know right now, offensive line depth looks like an issue because we talked about on the show just a couple nights ago, the Cardinals felt good about their top eight. They liked their starters, and they had three guys on the bench that they're like, yeah, it doesn't look like, well, two are on IR, Dennis Daly, John Gaines. And now the only remaining player of that eight-man group is Kelvin Beachum, who missed practice with a hand injury on Thursday. putting in doubt his availability. Now, this is not nearly as impactful as, say, last season when he started every game because they have their starting offensive line intact. But now that leaves, if he's unable to play, it leaves four players as the backups who haven't played a snap for the Cardinals. You've got Carter O'Donnell, their tackle, Keith Ismail, former Commanders guard and center, Tristan Colon, and then El Manning. So four guys who weren't on the roster before final cuts, and they are the offensive line depth. It ultimately doesn't matter if no one gets hurt during the game from the starting offensive line, but that's not the way you want to start the year.
No, it's not. And, you know, again, when you look at it, it's so different because we're talking about, you know, backups that were basically waiver wire pickups, right, a couple days ago or a week ago. And so it's just a different situation, you know, that the Cardinals are in, but it's still not envious. The fact that their starters are healthy is important. I mean, we can't overlook that, but it is a incredibly paper thin margin at this point, right? And that's kind of the scary aspect of it.
Yes, and it's you know, Kelvin Beachum getting hurt, wouldn't it be great to have a guy like Josh Jones on the roster, right?
And that was one of the questions we had about the whole situation, right?
Yeah, like, and I get why that happened, but you know, I wrote a piece a few days ago, over the weekend, that said, you know, the Cardinals, there were four moves this offseason that were bad football moves. Josh Jones being traded was one of them. You can argue that, but like, you have a guy that's a capable left tackle. He played pretty good left tackle. He can play right tackle, not as good there. Can play some guard. And you basically gave him up for a couple of pieces of gum because it was him.
And I get the idea. I truly do. I mean, I understand what Monty Austin Ford's idea is. It's that, oh, we're not going to re-sign him. He's not in our long-term plan, so get something for him. But at the same time, you can't tell me that you have this similar grade on Carter O'Donnell,
like,
right?
Canadian guy that played in, like, he's been on NFL teams the last 2 years, but he hasn't played in a game yet. So, yeah, I don't know. But, you know, it was one of those four moves, like cutting DeAndre Hopkins. You're a worse football team when you cut DeAndre Hopkins, obviously. There are other reasons, and my article was not about whether that was the right move or not. But this offseason, the Cardinals made several moves that made the team worse football-wise. Trading Isaiah Simmons makes them a worse football team talent-wise. Maybe it, you know, maybe culture-wise, but Isaiah Simmons, like, if you look at the secondary now, okay, if you go with Marco and Keetrell on the outside, Isaiah Buda, and then JT in the slot, that's a stronger unit than Buda, JT in the back, and you have Antonio Hamilton playing in the slot. Like,
they are
worse as a football team as a result. I'm okay with the move. It wasn't say it wasn't the right move, but that move, you know, cutting Hopkins, trading Simmons, trading Jones, hurt the football on the team. And I know people can argue with me. I still think that, and we'll see with Josh Dobbs, I felt that cutting Colt McCoy also was a lesser football move, although basically Jonathan Gannon said he was washed up. And I'll accept an argument of that, but I just don't believe, I don't believe that much in Joshua Dobbs to think that he's a better playmaker than Colt. And so, a guy that hasn't been on your roster, hasn't taken a snap, like basically got six practices, is a better option than an old Colt McCoy who was with the team all offseason. I find that hard, but yeah.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, like you said, it's tough, and I understand about getting picks and creating picks and things of that nature, but at the same time, like you said, you're hamstringing your team, and that makes things that makes the whole tank conversation a lot more relevant, right? Because it does, it's like, you're actively saying like, oh, this guy who is a better player, unequivocally a better player, isn't worth, or is only worth getting something now because we're not, he's not in our future plans. And I get the idea he's not in your future plans. I truly do understand that. But at the same time, you just look at it and it just, yeah, there's, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But, you know, now we are on to where we're at, and you have to, like you said, you kind of have to go with what's in front of you at this point.
Yeah. The other two players of note, Zach Ertz limited with the knee. We know that's what the situation there is. I just don't know, like, I feel like he's probably going to play in week one. I don't know how big a role he will have, because that's kind of been the plan the whole time. But Hollywood Brown, Wednesday limited hamstring, Thursday limited hamstring. Are you worried that he's the Gannon's DeAndre Hopkins in terms of practice? Because Gannon has said, no days off. Like, we don't give days off unless they're hurt. And so will Hollywood say, oh, my hammy, so he doesn't have to practice as much? Or do they have to do that so that he can get him through a season?
Yeah, and you have to wonder, it's something you and I talked about, and I can't remember exactly. I know I looked it up last year when they traded for him, and I don't remember exactly if it's that he's never gotten through a camp healthy. I think that's what it was, that he's literally never gotten through an entire camp healthy. Like, I don't think he's ever been healthy heading into week one. And so it's kind of par for the course, right? Like, you know that something's going to creep up as training camp / preseason / the beginning of the season starts, because it's happened literally every year he's been in the NFL. So it's just a matter of if he can play or not. And, you know, and that's an evaluation Monty has to make right now, for the future. And that's one of the things that I think is going to be really intriguing to watch, because for every notion, and like we just said, like, you know, it's hard to deny the tank when you're trading away players that effectively make your team better, in Simmons and Jones. But is a guy like Brown in their future plans? Or if this is a thing, like you're saying, like, oh, my hammy, and then you have to take, you know, and then you're missing days of practice every week, is that something that could get him in the okay, we're moving on pile, you know, heading into next year? So it'll be really intriguing to see how this all works out, because obviously we have no clarity heading into week one or heading out of year one of this regime, but it is something to watch, because it just seems like this crops up at the worst time. And quite frankly, it does crop up every year with him. So there's not much, you know, you can do about it.
On the Commander side, Terry McLaurin was limited to start the week, suffered turf toe in a preseason game, but looks like he's on track to play. He was a full participant Thursday. Chase Young, you know, former top pass rusher, coming out of the draft, and he's got a neck injury. He's been limited both days. There is some uncertainty about playing. Now that McLaurin's in the game, I think that without having him would have made things really interesting for the matchup with the Cardinals. How much of a difference maker do you think Chase Young is, whether he's able to play or not in that matchup against Washington?
I mean, I think their defense is so good that it makes a huge deal, because if the Cardinals can somehow find a way to control things, like not even necessarily score points, but we saw in tonight's game, if you're able to stay on the field, it makes a huge difference, right? And so if ideally the Cardinals can find a way to control things heading into game or during this game, that would be a big deal. And you know, they're going to need a little luck on their side, like what the Lions had with a 50-yard interception return from their rookie safety, right? Like, all of those things play into it. And so not having Chase Young, who is a flat out game wrecker when he's healthy and on the field, would be big for the Arizona Cardinals. Because, you know, you look at it, the biggest thing, and I know people always talk about, you know, running backs don't matter, this doesn't matter, that doesn't matter. But the biggest thing in this game was you had the Lions able to run the ball enough to keep Patrick Mahomes on the sideline. And so we know that the Commanders' offense isn't the Chiefs' level, but they're going to be good. I mean, Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson, you know, Antonio Gibson, Brian Robinson, like they have a good unit on that side of the ball. So if you're able to keep away from them, that's going to make a huge difference. And so that's what I think, when you just look at it, that's going to be what matters. You know, and you, it just makes things a little easier. Now, I think they said James Smith Williams is the guy. And the way, I've got the quote, so I don't brutalize it in this, but the way that the guys from Hogs Haven, you know, the sister side of SB Nation, describes it is that is steady and stable, but unremarkable. So he's a, I mean, that describes what, like a Rashard Lawrence type of player. Like if he's your, but let's be honest, if he's your fourth best defensive lineman, you're in a much better spot than that. So, you know, it's not to say that it will be easy, but Chase Young is their best pass rusher. So it'll just, I think it just gives them a little bit more of a chance, because I think that's Jonathan Gannon's goal. I think you would agree with this. It's basically playing keep away, right? Like he's like, I just don't want you guys to have the ball. Like, so we're going to run it. We're going to control the clock. And Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson, Curtis Samuel, good old Logan Thomas, yes, former Arizona Cardinal great. Him. Yeah. You're not going to get the ball enough to make plays. And, you know, that a lot of times for defensive coaches and whatnot, that's the reality.
Coming up next on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, best of Cardinals talk of the web. Let's move on and talk about team and individual matchups. What do we see coming up? We've talked a little bit already about, but that's coming up next on Rise Up Sea Red. We're back on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, best of Cardinals talk on the web, team and individual matchups. This is a really intriguing thing because we've got a couple unknowns. Obviously, Josh Dobbs, a quarterback for the Cardinals. Sam Howell only making a second NFL start, but Howell, you know, before his last year at North Carolina, had looked like an ascending-type quarterback. His last year, he lost talent, became more of a runner, and his stock dropped. He got drafted D3. He got a late start last year, but he beat out Jacoby Brissett, who when that happened, we thought Brissett would end up being the starter, that he would beat out Howell. Now he's a team captain and won the starting job, but we don't know much about that. Let's talk individual matchups. What are the individual one-on-one type things that you're super intrigued to watch? Me, I've got one that I'm watching, especially now that McLaurin's in, it looks like, Marco Wilson versus Terry McLaurin. How much does he line up, like, one-on-one? How does he handle him? And two, how do the Cardinals help him if that's the plan?
Well, and you look at it, I think the biggest thing is, to me, that the matchup is Eric Bieniemy versus Nick Rallis and Jonathan Gannon. And how do they, because this is basically, remember, this is basically kind of a pseudo Super Bowl rematch, right? Like you have
it's a Super Bowl toilet bowl matchup,
right? So you have Bienemy, part of the offensive staff for the Chiefs, and then obviously the Eagles defensive staff. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they do. And like you said, that's one of the big ones, is what do they do defensively with Wilson and Ketrell Clark and Antonio Hamilton on those three guys? Is it going to be a lot of man? Is it going to be a lot of zone? How's it going to look out? Next, you have the thing I'm looking at that, like, I'm really zeroing in on is, I think how this team, especially up front, handles a really good defensive line, because it's going to give us a glimpse into what these matchups against San Francisco are going to look like. I think Washington's defensive line is probably better, like 1 through 4, whereas San Francisco's linebackers are better. But, like, there's not a huge disparity between the front four of the Commanders and the 49ers. So we're going to, like you said, one, you know, you're razor thin along in terms of depth. But two, how are you going to handle these things, and how are you going to, like, how are you going to come out and make plays against a, you know, one of the better defensive fronts in the NFL?
They are strong up front. I know that Washington fans are concerned about, so they like the front, they like the back end, they're not fans of the middle with the linebacker core. And so
I do think you can take advantage of their safety duo, Cameron Curl and Derek Forrest. They're not bad by any means, but they're not great. Kendall Fuller and Emmanuel Forbes is a guy that I loved coming out, you know, and Kendall Fuller is a savvy veteran who's done a good job for a long time. But that's not the strength of the Cardinals offense either. Like, so it's kind of tough, right? Like, your strength,
the James Conner and Trey McBride show.
Yeah. And so, you know, are you going to be able to, and this is where having Zach Ertz would be huge.
Yes. Yes. If Ertz can give the Cardinals anything, like even 50% snaps on, or 40% of snaps on offense and make a few catches, he's another receiving weapon. McBride is like, Ertz is an okay block. Like, he's a willing blocker, but he doesn't add much to the run game. McBride, if he's not making mental mistakes, is it more of the traditional, you know, two-way tight end. But especially when you've got the quarterback who's playing, having Ertz, that another receiving option, at least on nearly half the plays, would be a big-time thing. Because then you could have, like, a tight end running back show with Connor and Ertz and McBride.
Yeah, and that is the idea behind it. And this type of offense, that's what they want to do. I mean, that's where this offense is built. You have that with deep shot potential with Marquise Brown, right? And then you have a big physical possession guy in terms of Michael Wilson. And so, like, it creates matchup opportunities. It's just, is there a quarterback that can take advantage of those? And is there a quarterback that can give them enough problems that they have to respect the quarterback, right? And those are the questions. And I mean, at the end of the day, let's be honest, that's the biggest matchup. Whoever the quarterback, Josh Dobbs, is, can they do enough, or can he do enough to get Washington to play it, you know, or to respect them and take advantage? And, you know, through his career, the answer has been no, right? Like, I mean, you and I have to be honest as well. And
if the people talking about Josh Dobbs breakouts, he's stop. Please.
Right.
don't like, as much Kool-Aid as I have drunk over the years of Cardinals football for the last 30 years, I think I finally realized you can't get excited about a guy like Josh Dobbs. You can only hope he doesn't mess it up.
Well, and so let me ask you this. I'm not overly impressed with their offensive line. You know, Charles Leno, Sadiq Charles, Nick Gates, Sam Cosmi, who I liked, and Andrew Wiley, who, you know, the Chiefs desperately wanted to replace. Leno's a guy that struggled while he was in Chicago. But again, is there enough talent along the defensive front to give them a hard time? Now, I will say I've been pleasantly surprised in the preseason, and that's how we have to preface this, right? The preseason, with how the upfront trio of Collier, Fotu, and Ledbetter have looked, with Zaven on the edge, or you know, but is that going to, you know, show itself in game one? And again, this is what makes game one intriguing and exciting, because there is still that slight hope of, oh, maybe they can do it.
Yeah. I like as well, Montez Sweat, I think, will be matched up mostly against Paris Johnson. So that'll be, especially if Chase Young can't play, that matchup will be fun to watch, I think. You've got a pretty good player in Montez Sweat against a promising young guy in Paris Johnson, who's, you know, if you like what he did in the preseason, didn't play a lot, but like what we saw from Paris Johnson, there were no glaring mistakes. It was just kind of like, I go back. Remember what we wanted Jonathan Cooper to be at guard?
Right.
Paris is doing that at right tackle.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's, you know, that's what you're excited to see, and that's, you know, that would be against Chase Young. So now it's against James Smith-Williams, that, you know, kind of makes his matchup a little bit easier, right?
Let's go position-wise. Quarterback, you would say Washington has the edge, right? It's not a big edge. Might be a big edge, but you definitely give Washington the quarterback edge, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Running back.
I like Brian Robinson. I think he played well after his, you know, unfortunate shooting last year. But, I mean, he's got less than 800 yards in his career.
Would you say maybe a wash or slight edge to the Cardinals?
I would give an edge to Connor and the Cardinals. Like that, and that's not being a homer in any way. That's just, you know, I think that's just what it is.
I think, obviously, the receiving core you give to Washington.
Yeah.
tight end though, like if Ertz is healthy enough to play, you know, you've got Thomas and Cole Turner for Washington. You've got Ertz and McBride. That might be a wash, wouldn't it be?
I think you can even lean slightly Cardinals on that. But you know, a wash is probably fair.
I think the Cardinals offensive line is a better offensive line than Washington's, based on what I'm hearing from Washington people. But the matchup, like you say, O-line versus D-line, I don't know, because the perceived weakness of the Cardinals' defensive line against Washington's offensive line, I think probably like the O-line, D-line matchup, the trenches matchup, I would give Washington the edge. That's because we just don't know enough about the Cardinals' D-line.
Right, and that's the thing, is like you have arguably the best 1-4 if Chase Young is out there in the NFL. Their front four is just, I mean, Montez Sweat would, I mean, literally any of their players.
It would replace any of the Cardinals' players.
Right, like, all of them are better than the best Cardinals player. Like,
yeah.
And that's not a shot at the Cardinals players. Like, I think Collier's in for a nice rebound, career rebound type of year. But, like, Payne, Allen, and Sweat, even without Young, are phenomenal. So, yeah, so that's head and shoulders to me the biggest disparity in this entire thing. Because even with like the wide receivers, like number ones, McLaurin's better than Hollywood, but like it's close enough. And then, you know, Dotson had a good rookie season and Curtis Samuel's kind of been disappointing in his career, you know. But it's not like either of them have been phenomenal, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, and last year, I mean, Curtis had, or sorry, 2 years ago, he held only 27 yards. Last year, he only had 656 yards. So it's not like Curtis has been great. And then last year, Dotson only had 523 yards. So, like, you know, they're very, very good, and their upside's way ahead of the Cardinals, but what has actually been produced is a lot closer, whereas the defensive side, yeah, it's not close. Like, there's no question. But I am interested because the linebackers, what are your thoughts on that? Because
I think the presence of Kaiser, I think, gives the Cardinals the edge. I think I would give Kaiser plus Josh Woods. He's an unknown, but just the fact I think that Kaiser's the best of the linebackers in the game, I'll give that edge slightly to the Cardinals.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
In corners, I think you have to give Washington the edge, but the Cardinals have the edge of safety. So the coaching, you know, the coaching intangibles, they're hard to measure. We don't know about Jonathan Gannon yet. We know that Ron Rivera is a great leader amid football teams. He is the modern-day Jeff Fisher.
I don't know what you asked or what you guys discussed, but when I asked my guy, I asked what the expectations are. I mean, it's year four. What are the expectations? And Ron, you kind of hit it. Ron, in 12 seasons of coaching, has three winning seasons. Three.
But what? Was it like five division championships?
Yeah.
Because he's won two divisions with losing records.
Right. He got them to the playoffs at 7-9 in 2020. And then he went 7-10 and 8-1. And so that's what I asked. I was like, what are the expectations? And he said, they either get to the playoffs or he's out, because you got to remember, this is a new ownership group, right? Like,
this is,
and that was one of the big things to me. And one of the kind of underrated aspects of this entire thing is that you've got a really high level of enthusiasm for the Commanders for the first time in probably 20 years.
Yes, but it's not football optimism.
Well, I think it's football optimism in the sense that they feel like this could be...
They're finally in the right direction. It would be... Right. Imagine Cardinals fans, and what Daniel Snyder did is so much worse than what Michael Bidwell has done. But imagine if Bidwell sold the team. Cardinals fans would be elated. And not because of the football play on the field. It would be because of the hope of what can come on the football field later. Yeah.
And so I wonder how much of that is a factor in week one, positive and negative, because sometimes you can come out too hyped up, and if you too much too fast and it doesn't work, all of a sudden, you know, you've got to re-energize and things like that. Or like if something goes wrong, you know, Sam Howell throws a pick six and all of a sudden you're down 7-0 in the second quarter. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, you know, like that, those are all like little factors, but it also could be a terrible thing for the Cardinals where they come out just revved up and they're like, hey, we're just going to blow the roof off this place. Cause like we're finally out from under the Snyder rule. And that's a big thing.
Yeah. Yes, totally. Coming on next on Rise of Sea Red Podcast, Mr. Cardinals talking about. Let's talk about keys to the game, key players, and make our game predictions. That's coming on next on Rise of Sea Red. We're back on the Rise of Sea Red Podcast, Mr. Cardinals talk on the web. We've talked a little bit about some, but for me, the players who I need to, I think that the players who need to excel, that need to be markedly good, is we need a good James Conner game. We need a collective good offensive line game. I think Zaven Collins is a key player because of the newness on the edge, and then we need a really good performance from Marco Wilson. And if those guys play, and for me, and then Josh Jobs, just don't screw it up. Don't screw it up and make a play or two. Like if we can get, if he can play, don't give the ball away and make a play or two, I think that's like what will give them a chance.
Yeah, and that's the big things. You know, I think you hit a lot of them on the head. Like, how does Marco match up with McLaurin? And then, you know, can Zaven create a pass rush? You know, and even if it's Zaven and Collier, can they create a pass rush consistently? Those are two big questions. And then I think – the offensive line, obviously, we've espoused the virtues and greatness of the Washington front four. So the offensive line is a given. But, you know, is that something that they can take advantage of, or is it something that they can get a stalemate on? And, you know, and then that leans towards the Cardinals' favor. Like, those are all questions. But I think for me, the biggest one is going to be, can Connor and the tight ends, like we talked about earlier, create problems on for those linebackers and safeties, because that is where they are the weakest. They, you know, Jamin Davis has been okay. Cody Barton's not bad, and Kaliki Hudson is really, you know, there's, I think they would ideally not be playing him if they, you know, had their druthers, basically. But that's just not the way it's working out for him. You know, Barton's a great kind of volume guy who does a nice job on the inside. And Davis, you know, he's been fine, but he like the Cardinals first round picks, hasn't necessarily lived up to billing. And a lot of people question that pick that year when he came out, right? Like,
it was, I remember that was, I know he was a kind of a sleeper first round pick, and he ended up being, but like the program he played at, you had to wonder, like, is he gonna be that? Is like the kids say, is he gonna be him? No, and like, this is why you don't draft off ball linebackers in the first round unless they are absolutely special, you know, Micah Parsons, you know, guys like that, Devin right. White, players like that. It's just, it's the number of just decently good players or just solid players when you, at that position, you just have to be, they have to be better, right? If they're going to be first round picks, they got to be better than that.
Yeah. And they need to be consistently, you know, impacting the game in a strong way. And I think he looked at him as a potential, you know, who was the guy there for Carolina? I can't remember his name now. And now Shaq, they got Thompson. Shaq Thompson's there now. Thomas David. Yeah. You know, they were hoping he'd be, you know, Thomas David, and he just didn't live up to it. And he's closer to Shaq Thompson, who's not bad. Again, like a good football player, but those guys were just never worth the first round billing that they were taken at. Obviously, you know, as Cardinals fans, we know far too much about that. So, but I think that's where they can take advantage, you know, and where they can win the game. Like you said, like between Ertz, McBride, and Connor, that trio can outplay Hudson, Barton, Davis, Curl, and Forrest. And so that'll be what's intriguing to watch and how it works out.
And so how many mistakes, so can the Cardinals compete in this game with any giveaways?
Yeah, I mean, that's the big thing, right?
Will the defense have to take the ball away if the offense gives the ball away?
Well, they're gonna have to. I mean, even if they don't give the ball away, they're gonna have to make plays. That creates plays for the offense that I think we're going to see that all season. Like it's just going to be something that has to happen. And, you know, to go back to how we started the show kind of, and looking at the Lions Chiefs game, you look at what the Lions were able to do and they didn't turn the ball over and the Chiefs did. And that, I mean, that's literally the difference in the game. Now, again, I don't think you and I think that the Lions are or the Cardinals are on the same level as the Lions right now.
No.
But that's going to be the key, right? Like creating turnovers and controlling the ball. Those are two huge factors in this game. And you know, whether or not the Cardinals turn the ball over, you know, if let's put it this way, if the Cardinals turn the ball over, it's going to be ugly. If the Cardinals don't turn the ball over, but they don't cause turnovers,
it'll be ugly a different way.
It's not going to be, it won't be ugly as much as it will be. It'll still be, I don't want to oversell it and say it's going to be like too bad, but I think it'll be, you know, like a two score victory. Whereas if the Cardinals don't turn the ball over and create turnovers, they may have a minute chance to win the game.
I kind of see that. ESPN's Mike Clay projected two things about this match. It wasn't even about this matchup, but his projections and his model, what he used, projects that the Commanders will have the worst scoring offensively, 18.2 points a game, and the Cardinals will be 2 points off of the worst scoring defense of the league, given a 458 points, like 27 points a game, which makes that matchup really bad, because if the Cardinals slow the Washington offense, is it their defense or is it the Washington offense? And if Washington scores a lot, is it their offense or is it the Cardinals' defense? Now, limited snaps, limited reps in the preseason with the starters on defense gave us a little bit of optimism, because the starting unit, now I know you have to sustain that through games, so you've got fatigue and you got all that, but suggests that perhaps this unit will be better than expected. And against a quarterback, I don't have the belief in Sam Howell that some people do. I need to see it first. And so while
and
I think
that's something that's under discussed, is people are just assuming Sam Howell plus Cardinals defense equals huge game for Sam Howell.
I think this game's going to be a sludge match. And so if you're making your prediction, do you think the line is 7 points? Do you think the Cardinals can cover? Like reasonable prediction, can the Cardinals cover?
I have them not covering, but I think it's close in the sense that, like, I think they lose by 10 or so.
Mm-hmm.
But so, like, I could see something like 21-10 type of score. Yes. I've got to see this offense, like, before I can really say anything.
Well, I don't think the Cardinals, like, even I think the Cardinals cover the spread in this game, because I think their defense will be okay, but the offense won't do much at all, you know, but they might get a play or two. So I think 10-13 points for the Cardinals, and I have 16-17 points for the Commanders. I'm thinking 16-10 or a 17-13, you know, just nearly unwatchable type of game. But like, if you're Dan Campbell and Jonathan Gannon, maybe you love that sort of game because of, you know, brings you back to 1995, smash mouth, slow play, you know, conservative football, which, you know, Ron Rivera has been known for. The Cardinals have to play like that, because you can't have Joshua Dobbs slinging the ball around like he's a franchise quarterback. So, you know, I think the Cardinals can cover. I think, like, the line in the the one bet to make for every game that we wrote for my whole network, my bet was the under in this game. And the under is already, the projected total is 38 points, which is the lowest projected total in the entire weekend of all 16 NFL games. And I think the Cardinals still hit, I think it's the under in that game.
Well, and I said, like, even me, if they don't cover, I have it only getting to 31. So, like, yeah, I'm with you. And you have to remember, too, there's, I know this is kind of a cop-out, but there's usually a one way or the other on these lines, or like the over-unders. Like, you either get that it's a really good line in the sense of like look at the game tonight, 52 and a half, 54 and a half, whatever it was, there was 41.
Yeah.
You know, and so usually what happens is you get like, they're off by about 10 one way or the other. So it's like, and so it's like a 28 point game or it's a 48 point game. Cause they still don't know either. Right. Like, they're still trying to figure things out.
Yeah. Especially week one lines. They're really odd, but I don't, like, could they win? I mean, sure. I don't give them much of a chance of winning at all in this game because of how tough Washington is up front and the lack of belief that I have in Dobbs as a playmaker. I mean, sure, he's got a better arm than Colt McCoy. I don't believe he's a better playmaker still. And so I think they will struggle offensively, but I think their defense will be scrappy enough that will get by and they'll be in, like, it'll look like they're in the game, even though they're not really in the game. You remember the end of 2020 Cardinals, or even the end of 2021 Cardinals that year, like, but 2020 in particular, like, or even 2018, like, Detroit scored like 11 points and you're like, well, this is over. And so while the Cardinals might be a one score game, it's never one that they are in control of, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I think that makes a lot of sense.
So I've got 16 to 10 or 17 to 13. You've got 21, 10-ish, right?
Yeah, right around
both
there.
Both going under. Yeah, that'll wrap up this edition of the show. I mean, we will have we've got the Jess and Seth preview of this game. Saturday, I will drop the show that I have an interview with Brian Manning over Commander's Wire. So we'll get a preview with an opponent writer. So kind of the behind enemy lies specific. And I think that's going to be the format move forward, where game review on one, Seth and I preview the next game, and then I will preview the game with someone who covers the other team. And so we'll kind of go with that. That's Seth Cox. I'm Jess Rude. This is the Rise of C-Red podcast. We'll have another show dropping on Saturday, and then we get real football. Thanks for listening. We'll be back again soon.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up C-Red podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise Up Red Sea, Be Red C-Red, and of course, Rise Up C-Red.
Whoa!